OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Get the full show straight to your phone by subscribing to the OTB AM podcast wherever you get yours. The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
It is 20 past nine and we are talking TV. Sue Murphy, how are things?
Good. How are you? Survived.
All good. Yeah, absolutely. So every week here, we tell you something new to watch. We tell you what to go back and watch. And we fill you in on what we've been watching as well in between all the Premier League and Champions League football. We'll start off with what's new to watch. And what are you looking at this week, Sue?
So there's quite a few things, actually. I might start with Disney Star because I keep calling it Disney Star. I don't know if it's Star by Disney or Disney Star, but I'm going to go with Disney Star. It's the new tile that's launching on Disney on Tuesday. Basically, they're going to have a heap of new content. Well, they have a heap of new content and a heap of old content that's going onto that. So all of their kind of 20th Century Fox, ABC, all of those shows. So a lot of kind of Grey's Anatomy and those kind of things are going to go up. But also, there's a huge back catalogue of old films that are going to go onto that. So that, basically, if you're already under a Disney subscription, you'll get that from Tuesday. And the price, if you're joining after Tuesday, will go up. And then I think it goes up later in the year as well. It's something like $8.99 a month. But they gave me a new series called Big Sky. And there's no one really overly recognisable in it until you see Ryan Phillippe. And he's kind of like the and Ryan Phillippe, so he's the biggest person in the show. And I honestly watched the first 15 minutes of this and thought it was absolute cheese fest and thought it was rubbish. And then about 30 minutes in, I was like, oh my God, this is great. What? So it's like a real mystery thriller. And they're like, he's having problems with his wife and they're both former cops that work as like private investigators now. And they have a son and the son's daughter goes, or the son's girlfriend goes missing. And it's all very, that's all very like happy families and what's going on. And then as soon as the girls go missing halfway through the episode, it just goes up a notch and suddenly gets really interesting. And there was a couple of jumps in it that I wasn't expecting. It took a couple of twists and turns. Like, I can't promise the rest of the series is going to be absolutely brilliant, but the first episode was surprisingly really good. Like, I nearly gave up after 15 minutes and was actually really glad I stuck with it.
Right, that is a really good testament to anything. What are you most looking forward to seeing on Star?
I don't think there's anything massive that's coming. Like, I actually just really happy about going back and watching early Grey's Anatomy. I know that sounds super stupid, but it actually got really good, like really bad about six series in. But stuff like, I was looking through it yesterday, they have like Pretty Woman and just things that you're not going to be able to get access to. But I think they're going to be adding a lot of new content over the next while. And it's going to be the place to look because they're a huge streaming service now. Like, they don't just have the kids stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, that's such a big arsenal of stuff they're going to have going forward. But nothing particularly that I can think of, but just watch out for the big, big content that's going to go onto that streaming service.
Wrong answer. The thing you should be most looking forward to is 24. 24 coming to Disney is the most important television moment of the 21st century. Everybody gets to live day by day with Jack Bauer on demand, and that is the most important television.
Nobody else is watching that except you. Like, literally nobody in the country is watching 24 repeatedly except you.
Yeah, I was there. I was there when it got the graveyard slot on Sky One on Sunday nights after Lost and after something else. I was there through its tough days in season 7.
Yeah, oh, my dream team used to be as well. But the other one I was going to mention this week as well, and it was like, I send you guys an email, just so people know, on Tuesday, kind of saying, here's what I'm teeing up for the week. And one of the things I'd watched was Devils, which is going to be on Now TV and it's on Sky as well. And the first 15 minutes was brilliant. I was like, this is great. Like, I love all those kind of trade and bank things. Patrick Dempsey is this guy who's like really high up in the bank. He's trying to bring this other guy up with him. And they're all out to get each other and being really underhanded. I was like, this is going to be like, this is like Wall Street in a series. It looks slick. It was David E. Kelly. And last night, Patrick Dempsey disappears after the first 15 minutes. You basically never see him again for the rest of the episode. And the rest of it was just awful. Like, really bad acting. Like, this terrible.
This is Grey's Anatomy fan Sue Murphy talking about Patrick Dempsey, who is in Grey's Anatomy.
A fan. No, Grey's Anatomy was just one of those things that, like, if you needed a good cry,
Yeah.
It was something you mentioned. And I never, like, everyone has seen an episode or two of Grey's Anatomy. You'll never convince me otherwise, but it's not brilliant by any stretch of the imagination. And this certainly isn't either. Like, it looks really slick and there's a good twist, but my God, the acting was absolutely dreadful in it. Like, so sorry. It's really bad about the Grey's Anatomy shows.
One other thing to mention is the Pele doc coming next week to Netflix.
Yes, I can't review it yet because it's embargoed till 3 o'clock, so I can just like strongly point people in the direction of it. But just to give an idea, because I think people go into this thinking it's just going to be about football, and it's not giving anything away to say that it's actually going to take a look at his fame and his relationship with the dictator in Brazil and how he operated under that dictatorship and some of the stuff around the 1970 World Cup. And I can't say anything about like reviewing it, but I'm just going to strongly suggest that people watch it. It'll be out on Tuesday. I'm sure we'll be talking about it again next week anyway.
Yeah, we're going to have the directors on the show next week here on OTBAM. What are you telling us to go back and watch then this week?
I don't know if you've seen this, this is kind of like one of those ones that was even a gem when it was out, but it's Unbelievable on Netflix. It's Toni Collette stars as this detective. It's based on a true story. And I actually got food poisoning about 2 years ago and was stuck on a couch for a week. And I just flew through it. And I think once you get into it, you just can't stop, because the first episode, it's basically based on this guy who was a rapist, but he was operating in different regions. So nobody was ever picking up that he was committing the same crimes in all these different areas, because there was different areas of the police that were dealing with different victims. And the first episode is one victim, and it just tells her entire story from start to finish, and the cops literally not believing anything that she's telling them. And then it kind of switches to the two detectives who are trying to find this guy, because they, and two female leads as well, but they very much believe the women and believe there's a story here that's not being told, and kind of just reveals itself over 8 episodes. But my God, it totally hooks you in. Toni Collette is exceptional. That she is so good. She's a real hard ass cop with a real heart as well, and it's just, the story is like, I know I keep saying unbelievable, but it is actually an unbelievable story, and so they really stuck there. They really got the title really good, but yeah. They really stuck to the facts as much as they could. Like, I went back and read about the cases afterwards, and they really tried to just tell the victim story. So it's brilliant. If you haven't seen it, it's well worth watch.
Right, that's great. That's available on Netflix now. It's called Unbelievable. Yeah. And I just did a quick Google there. The IMDb score is very impressive indeed. Haven't heard of that. Right, so The Update, this is obviously our favorite show of, this is usually where Jer comes in and like absolutely lambasts period dramas or anything British really. What are you watching this week, and what have you been keeping an eye on?
Like, me and Owen used to sit across from each other in the office before COVID, and Owen would regularly talk about how The Office was the greatest thing that ever happened to him in his entire life. And he was like, there was office jokes that I would regularly miss out on because he'd be like, The Office. Ugh. So I went back the other day and I was like, okay, I'm going to start The Office. And I started watching the first 2 episodes with my husband, the US one. And he was like, this is just exactly the same as the English one, because he'd never seen the US one. And I'm still lost because I haven't seen the English one either. But I didn't laugh, but I like the characters enough to keep going. So I'm 2 episodes in and I will definitely keep going. But I just don't know if I'm ever going to be as obsessed with it as you are, Owen, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
You might be.
Yeah, I'm with Owen on this one, because it's the kind of thing, Michael Scott, played by Steve Carell, is quite a greasy, somewhat unlikable character, I think, in season one. But then thereafter, turn him into this lovable rogue that you just warm to and love. And I'm similar to you, Sue, in that I was quite late to The Office US. Yeah. I've now watched it, and like, my brother is obsessive of the US Office, and it's constantly on in our house. I think once you've watched it once, you will watch it 4 or 5 times. It's like Friends. You'll have an episode on in the background. You'll rewatch episodes. Like, Dwight Schrute is one of the funniest characters in television history, in my opinion, and the relationship between him and Jim Halpert, the back and forth, it's one of the best TV double acts you'll ever see.
And then if you
want romance, you've got Jim and Pam, which is, the love story is so deep that fans of the show actually get upset on social media knowing that they aren't together in real life. So this is I'm with Owen on this. It's one of the greatest comedy shows ever made.
I'm going to stick with it, I promise I will, and I'll give reports back, because I do like the characters enough. And I also think that there, it was very, because Ricky Gervais and Stephen Merchant are executive producers, it didn't have its own thing going. And I remember Owen saying to me before, like, it takes, to, was it 3 or 4, you were saying, before it actually becomes its own thing. So I kind of feel like you are watching just a rip-off of the English one, you know?
Totally. And it doesn't actually work that well. Like, as Shane says, once Steve Carell gets less greasy, he suddenly becomes a little bit more funny. And they just soften up the character. They try to create David Brent, and it just doesn't work either in an American accent, or else Steve Carell just couldn't pull it off. They completely soften the character. He becomes less of an outright dickhead and more of a lovable dickhead. And that is what the beauty of season two is. If you're not liking it come the middle of season two, then you're never going to love it. But I 100% the first couple episodes aren't a real representation. Also, Shane Hannon putting the US Office and Friends into the same category.
Sorry, yeah.
Sacrilege. The US Office is up here.
I was hoping he missed
Friends
it.
Somewhere down here. On in the background.
What I meant was, you watch Friends, you know, the way people have Friends on in the background as a kind of, you know, I don't know what to watch, so I'll just throw on an episode of Friends. The Office is similar in that vein, and that vein only, Owen, in that you could rewatch episodes. I'm definitely not bringing the two of them together thematically.
There's nothing wrong with Friends. You're being very insulting towards Friends here, Owen. Very snobby. Like, I would say.
Yeah, no, I'll take that. I'll take the snobbiness towards Friends.
They both have some top guest appearances as well. That's the other thing about The Office. Mm. I wasn't too sure about Will Ferrell, his guest appearance, but you have people like Idris Elba, Kathy Bates, Catherine Tate is fantastic in it as well. So they all come in and add an extra dimension to the show. And then some of the side characters, Toby Flenderson, the dry wit, dry delivery of Toby as a character. And then some of the other ones, Kevin as well. Just some of the cold opens as well are just extraordinary. It just keeps you, and they're such short episodes as well, 20-25 minutes. That's
what I love about it. Like, because we went back and we were actually in such a what do we watch? We went back and watched Schitt's Creek, and I'd only watched it about 6 months before. But you just need, some days you just need something that's just 20 minutes and you haven't got much more time than that, and it's perfect for that kind of stuff. Or it's not too much misery. Like, there's so much misery around. Like, you need something that's just a bit of a break, you know?
Yeah, we should power rank the Office characters. At number one is Ryan. Ryan is the best Office character that there is. And
we shouldn't have started this. Like, we could just go and he could just talk the rest of this hour.
It could happen. So I'm going to put a stop on it there, unless anybody has any final thoughts, because we got a very important comment from Peter. Here, where is Owen's weekly review of Married at First Sight Australia Season 6? Peter, I just have one question. Do I not need to watch season 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 first, get a bit of character development going on, find the peaks and troughs of Married at First Sight Australia before I actually get into season 6? That is a question I would have for you. Whatever the answer is, I'll be keen to hop into it soon. But what I've been doing for the last week, I've left this go way too long in my life for that
question,
was True Detective. Now, what can you say? What can you say about that? Well, like, season 1 is just absolutely sensational.
It's actually been another one of those ones that I rewatched recently, because I watch a lot of TV, my husband doesn't, and usually I'd get to the end of something and I'd be like, you actually need to watch that, that's amazing. And then I have to go back and rewatch it all again with him. So that's what happened with True Detective, and I didn't regret one second of rewatching it. It's just like Matthew McConaughey in the first series, and actually Woody Harrelson, who's one of my favourite actors, I just love him. But their dynamic and their relationship and the interwoven storyline and how it all changes, like pace and the wife, and oh, it's just like, you could watch, you don't even need the mystery that happens in True Detective. I would definitely just watch the two of them as a buddy movie. Fine. Like, they're just fantastic. And you were saying you hadn't seen, you've only watched season one. Like, two is rubbish, don't even bother going anywhere near, but three is exceptional as well. It's really, really good. It's a very different series, but it's brilliant. Really brilliant.
Shane, you were saying that he almost got the Woody Harrelson part, Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I actually have the copy. So I have a bit of a man crush on Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, he doesn't.
Always have. And like, similarly to Owen, I've only seen season one of True Detective, but I read...
Oh, I just bought this book. Yeah,
Green Lights. It's one of the great autobiographies, I think, because he kept notes over, was it 30, 35 years and diaries, and has just transformed into this book. It is, I'm not bragging here, well, I am. It's signed by the author, so like me and Matthew are... pretty close.
Pretty
look
tight.
At that for a signature, by the way. One of the best. Can you see that up close?
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's extraordinary. But yeah, there is a section in here, and I'll read it to you. So he nearly got the part that Woody Harrelson had. So he writes here, The role I was offered was that of Marty Hart. The role I wanted was Rustin Cole, the greatest detective I'd ever met. I couldn't wait to turn the page to see what came out of his mouth next. An island of a man who lived between the mortal respect of death and the immortal need for its deliverance. A man who, without sentiment, fiercely sought the truth, no matter how much it burned. He made me sweat in my boots. And then he told the directors, if I can be Rustin Cole, I'm in. And they gave him the part. And, you know, short, long story short, Woody Harrelson, of course, gets the other role. And then he writes, when True Detective aired, Camilla, that's his wife, and I watched it every Sunday night like everyone else. I obviously had the opportunity to see it all in one sitting prior to its release, but I chose to digest it as it was designed to be consumed, 1 hour every Sunday night, followed by water cooler talk on Monday morning with anticipation for the next episode. It was my favorite thing on TV, still is. And he goes on to say how, you know, he got that Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club, and this was free advertising for him as he was trying to get that Oscar, that he was on TV every Sunday night, ended up getting the Oscar for Dallas Buyers Club. So clearly a role that was very important to him, but an extraordinary actor.
Oh, yeah. And a really, really smart guy as well. I think kind of people always want to paint him as the really good looking guy that likes to take his top off. And he does. He really likes to take his top off. Like, there's that story about Magic Mike that they were like, you don't have to take your top off for the strip scene. And he's like, no, I don't mind doing it. So, but he's always kind of painted as that person. But he's so incredibly smart in interviews and a really interesting guy as well, you know?
Yeah, we are unfortunately out of time. I've got a really hot take on True Detective, which unfortunately we don't have time to get. I actually just think that the narrative is a little bit overrated. You're dead right in what you say, that the characters are just so bloody good, and episode 4 is the best episode in the history of television. But I actually think the last couple of episodes are a little bit average, because the plot isn't a 10 out of 10, whereas the characters, the acting, the cinematography is a 10 out of 10. That is my hot take. No room for any rebuttals on that. We're out of time. Sue Murphy, thank you very much.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.